In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Thanks be to God, he does not toss us off to the other person. That's really all we needed to know today. But I'll go into more detail. Otherwise, I just wasted hours. But the reality is this, we live in a world where getting tossed off is a very normal thing. I'm what they call second career, in case you don't know that. I didn't know I had a first career, just thought I had a job, and then I became a priest. But apparently I'm a second career clergy person. And I hired and fired a large number of people in my years of running business and such. And I would say this, in this world, you will often, probably too often, hopefully we don't do it ourselves too often, although we maybe have. You have someone who hears and understands absolutely everything you're saying to them and the actions which they need to take. And that's exactly, they agree, they see it, they do it, or they don't do it. They agree to it, and then they never do it. Right? Anybody ever had that experience with somebody? Maybe we ourselves have done that on occasion. See, this is the beauty of the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This is the Messiah, brothers and sisters. This is who the prophets have talked about. This is who he said God himself, through his prophets, would be coming to save them. And thanks be to God, he did. Amen. Now, John is writing this letter to the church, and he's trying to encourage them. They're facing some struggles. There's false preachers that are kind of coming through, and he wants them to stand firm in their understanding of this Jesus. And then there's also another issue in where they're not really taking care of those who are passing through, the visitors, more specifically, those who are out spreading the gospel, the missionaries of the time, the traveling preachers and such. So he's trying to encourage them, let's do better. Find your strength, live into the strength that we find in Jesus Christ. So the first verse of our lesson today in this first letter of John to the church, he says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We know love by this. Now, I think we can all agree that if somebody lays their life down for you, they must have a fairly deep and abiding love for you, or for the ideal of who we are, the concept of the Church of Jesus Christ, the concept of our country for those who serve. People make an agreement to lay down their life, and some people can't comprehend it. And some agree to it and then can't follow through. That is not Jesus. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, did exactly as he said he would do. He gave his life for us to redeem us. He is our Savior. The next thing in this same verse that John says, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another, which sounds a lot like Jesus. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sounds like the same thing to me. But the difference is he's telling us why we love our God. The response is the same. Now, our response isn't what saves us. What saves us is the grace of God. Our response comes from the gratitude that we have for what God has done for us. That he's laid down his life for us. So by laying down our lives for others, we are laying down our life for God. It is our response. Will it matter? Well, I think it will to Jesus, our good shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. Verse 17, following the shepherd, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Who would do such a thing? Certainly not one who follows the Good Shepherd, who has really laid down his very life. Certainly if we have things of the world and someone is in need of them and we can give them to them, why wouldn't we? But we struggle with things, don't we? And we live in this world. In fact, we struggle so much with things. There are these complexes that are built. We could probably, as a group, walk to about four of them in the next 20 minutes. Storage facilities, amen? We get so much stuff, we can't let it go. We just can't let it go. So we go and rent a space. We have our house, which we probably bought because it had great storage. Had that linen closet right where it needed to be, the whole thing, two-car garage that nobody can get a car into. And we got so much more stuff, we go and we rent another space so we can put more stuff into space. I'm starting to feel like George Carlin right now, but I'm not going there. Some of you may remember. But the reality is, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I shared this in Bible study between services, which, by the way, is a really sometimes dangerous thing to do, is to lead a Bible study between services when you're the preacher. And the person said, you know, we got that letter from Family Promise, couldn't help thinking about it today. So Family Promise was here this week, which means we had a family literally living in the office. And we fed them every night and every morning. And a couple of our parishioners stayed overnight. Varying groups of people will come and volunteer their life and spend a night on a cot in the office to be here for the family. So a family that went by some time ago wrote a beautiful letter to another family here. They'd made it through the program, and they received all that they had asked for by the hands of God's people, and they now had an apartment to live in. And they were worried about how they were going to furnish it. And then another member of this church, due to a loss in their family and the moving of the other family member, had an entire house full of furniture that they could offer to furnish this home. They didn't rent a storage unit, brothers and sisters. But that's how it works, you see. How do you lay down your life? Well, hang around here. You can see it every day. People laying down their life for others. Why? Because God Himself, God incarnate, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us. How can you not respond? Well, John touches, I'm teaching James between, so let's get back to the right letter. John helps us. He says, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. So often what happens is when we are called to lay down our life, to make a sacrifice, to do something for another person, that we get a little nervous, amen? We start thinking, well, what if I do it wrong? Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe you're called the wrong person to do the job. And to that I would say, if you are ever asking yourself all those questions when someone has asked you to do something, when that's God speaking to you. Because if somebody else comes and asks you and it's just of them asking you, you're just like, no, I'm good, and you move on. When you walk past it and it haunts you, and everything inside you is starting to go, I should do this, I can see myself doing this. Everything else that happens after that that isn't in alignment with it, that is your troubled heart. That is your troubled heart. And we're called to walk into truth. The truth is we are called, like the Good Shepherd, to lay our lives down for others and therefore laying our lives down for Him. And our troubled hearts keep us from moving and doing those things which God's called us to do. Amen? We struggle with it. I'm not good enough. I'm not ready. I don't know enough. All these other things. And we take that excuse. In my world, we call that justification, not the good kind. We're justifying our actions, or more likely, if we're justifying, we're trying to justify our inaction. And now we have to ask ourselves, who are we trusting? Who do we believe? Are we believing in this world that says, hold on to all of your stuff, store it up? For what reason? I'm not sure. Thankfully, I don't have a storage unit. If I ever get to a storage unit, something bad has happened to me. Please intervene. If he comes to throwing stuff out, I am your man. If you're having trouble throwing it out, just call me. I'll do it. I really don't struggle with it at all. Pat knows. We've been in the kitchen. I'm thinking about throw it out. Somebody might get upset. I'm like, if they wanted it, they should have taken it with them. Amen? We're not your storage unit. Little plug for the kitchen crew. But whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. See, God already knows that you're struggling. He already knows what your struggle is. He knows what your troubled heart is. He knows that you're condemning yourself. He knows that it's holding you back. And he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. I laid down my life for you. Now you lay yours down for others. Let me give you a little insight. You're going to screw it up. So what? Anything we've learned to do, and maybe even can do it well, we only got there by doing what? Practicing. Well, that's what we're doing today, brothers and sisters. We are here practicing our faith. That phrase sound familiar to you? There's a reason it's called practicing our faith. That's why your doctor has a practice, in case you haven't figured that out. Don't be offended if you're a doctor. I understand you're practicing. So am I. And many of you in this room know very well that I can do this wrong. Sometimes more often than I can do it right. We practice. We do what we can do. Sometimes we get smart and we do what God wants us to do and we let him do it through us. Amen? That's the difference. Some days we'll get it right. Some days we get in the way. But we have to continue to move in it. Otherwise, we go nowhere. We just sit with our condemned hearts in our broken space, and we start clinging to the things of the world, and maybe we get another storage unit for our stuff. When we could just let it go and see what God can do with it. Just open our hearts and let it be truth so that we can stand boldly with God. See, he continues, John continues, beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. It doesn't say, if we do this perfectly, we'll feel confident. It says, if our hearts do not condemn us, doesn't mean you won't try. You'll just recognize what's happening and say, that is not of God. We will have boldness before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. Do what pleases him. And how could we not want to do that? To do what pleases God. Now, I met with the family of the soon-to-be newly baptized, and I told them, I want you to relax and be a part of what's happening. I said, the person who's going to screw this up today is going to be me. If anybody's going to do anything wrong or forget something, it's probably going to be me. It's not because I don't know what to do. It's just sometimes when we're moving in the midst of the worship, I am worshiping with you. And some of the little details, or you're turning this way or that way or the rest of it, sometimes just doesn't come up for me. We make mistakes. But here's, and you maybe heard me say this before. You ever been around a young child? Anybody? Yeah, and you get them like a piece of paper and a whole box of crayons. It could be hundreds of different colors. And they take the red crayon and they scribble all over this piece of paper. Hopefully they're still pretty young when they're doing this. And then they bring it to you and they say, for you. We don't go, but you had 164 crayons over there and you used one red crayon and I can't, what is it even? We look at it and go, well, what is it? And then they tell us and we go, okay. No, we go, it's beautiful. See, that's what God wants from his children. So if the best we can do is grab one red crayon and scribble all over the piece of paper and hand it to God, he's going to say, what is it? And we're going to tell him, and he's going to go, it's beautiful. And he's going to stick it on his fridge. Forever. We still have things on our refrigerator that are now in the second or third house we've lived in, probably the fourth or fifth refrigerator, that were drawn by our eldest granddaughter who just turned 12. Oh, they're still there. Now, she's gotten better. You know why? She practices. So we're practicing. Continue to practice. God has plans, brothers and sisters. He's bringing them to fruition before our very eyes. We need not be skeptical. This isn't one of the many employees I've had in the past that tells me everything I want to hear and then does nothing. This is God. He makes good on his promises. And that, brothers and sisters, is why we stand here today in this Easter season. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, entered into this fallen, broken creation, walked among us, the broken, the damaged, and the sinful, without sin, and with his very body and blood paid the price for all that we cannot do, so that we could come alongside of him and be with him in his plan, and he will teach you to lay down your life. The good shepherd will lead you. He who laid his life down for you will show you how to lay your life down for others and therefore for him. In our tradition, we like to respond to that. In all Christian traditions, I hope they like to respond to that with deep gratitude and worship. Still something we're practicing. At 8 o'clock, our early service, we have slightly different wording, but it sinks into me every single Sunday. And there are times when I can barely speak the words. And in the middle of that right one service, our response comes out in the Eucharistic prayers, and we're reminded to offer ourselves, our souls, and bodies to be a holy and living sacrifice to God. Amen.